When a major crisis hits, whether it's a ransomware attack, a natural disaster, a product recall, or some type of supply chain disruption, eyes don't just turn to the CEO, they also turn to the board of directors. In these moments, the board can be the difference between a steady hand that's guiding the organization or a group that unintentionally complicates the response. The challenge: boards often struggle to know exactly what their role should be or is in the company's crisis management plans. Are they there to make decisions? Are they there to back management? Are they there to protect their reputation and their shareholders? The answer, of course, is all of the above, but with clarity about what their role is and the boundaries that they should be honoring. And that's what we're going to unpack today. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at Brightpath, and this is the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. Today, we're talking about the role of the board of directors during a crisis. What responsibilities do they carry? How can they best support management? And where do boards sometimes stumble? Let's get into it. First and foremost, when we think about crisis management with the board, we're thinking about a governance issue. Standards like ISO 22361 and others emphasize governance as a cornerstone of effective crisis leadership. And regulators like FFIEC for financial institutions here in the U.S. are pretty clear. The board has the ultimate accountability for ensuring that resilience frameworks and programs are in place. So what does that mean in practice? Well, it means three things. First is about governance and oversight. The board must ensure that the organization has a tested crisis management framework and plan that has been properly resourced and aligned with the enterprise risks of the organization. Second, the board is responsible for strategic alignment. The board should always be asking, does our crisis posture match our risk appetite? Are we ready for the kinds of disruptions that we think would threaten our strategy, our ability to achieve our strategic objectives? And third is about stakeholder assurance. A visible, engaged board sends a clear message to investors, regulators, and customers that leadership is serious about managing uncertainty, about truly being prepared for those risks. Now, here's where boards often wrestle with this issue, and that is how to support management without the board becoming an operational entity, which is not why boards exist. In a crisis, the CEO and the executive team, with whatever crisis management team that they have put into place, are running the response. The board's role here is to support, not second-guess decisions. That means that they must trust and empower management, not to take over the playbook. They should be backing leaders who are in the arena. The second is to enable resources. They're there to approve funding, reinforce priorities, and ensure that crisis teams have the tools and resources that they need. In most organizations, there's some level of spend, capital or expense, or resource allocation that needs to be approved by the board. This is where the board has a tactical decision to make around, do I want to approve this ransomware payment, for example? Third is the board is there to provide advice and counsel, not to make decisions. It's management's job. But they're there to bring that broader perspective, whether that's regulatory, investor, or reputational. Or in some cases, board members have been through crises like this and have advice that they can offer to the CEO and other members of the executive team. The last role of the board is to communicate strategically. And by that, I mean the board should help set expectations for transparency with external stakeholders while aligning with the voice of the CEO and executive management that they have selected. Now, there's some pretty common pitfalls here. There are traps that boards fall into, and I've seen some of these firsthand. The first is boards that are trying to run tactical decisions during incident. What systems do we shut down? What plants should we close? Who should we call first? That's not their lane. Second, boards that only engage after a crisis hits instead of ensuring preparedness. instead of ensuring preparedness beforehand. Third, boards treating crisis readiness as a compliance exercise rather than a strategic enabler. These are missteps that slow the response and can erode trust. So what are the best practices? What does good look like with a board? Well, first, they should be involved in crisis exercises. You should be at a place in your organization where you are mature enough for the board to be a participant in the role they should be playing. in your crisis exercise process. So when boards join tabletops or simulations, that helps sharpen decision-making, it helps us understand how to escalate things to the board, and it surfaces governance questions and operational processes that may be necessary to support their involvement. The second is to use dashboards and metrics. Regular reports on resilience, things like exercise outcomes, recovery objectives, incident learnings, after action reports. These are things that help keep the board informed without being overly buried in detail. The third is to make sure that you've aligned to the applicable standards. We typically build crisis programs that follow the ISO 22361 standard for crisis management. You may be in a financial services firm where you need to align to the FFIC requirements. You may be doing high trust where you have some specific governance things that need to be in place. All of these reinforce the leadership role of boards in resilience and crisis management. You should use these frameworks as your guideposts. And then lastly, you should clarify roles. Exercises help reinforce this, but management is there to run the operational business of the organization. The board is there for oversight and governance, making sure you have available resources and maintaining external confidence. So let me share an example of where I had a board that was effectively involved in a significant crisis. This was during my time at a major retailer, a Fortune 30 retailer, where I was the head of crisis management. And we had Hurricane Sandy, very significant hurricane that disrupted nearly 200 stores for our organization in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, and a few other locations across the coast, right? Our CEO had regular contact with the board through the normal channels of communication. What he wanted to communicate were things like a simple timeline of what was going on, the status of the business, and then any other relevant data that would help the board understand where things stood. So what we gave to him on a regular basis was a timeline of what had happened, the impact on our stores and our people, right? The most important thing to us and to the board was not necessarily if all of our stores were reopened. It was anybody hurt, including people in their homes, their family members, you know, as they were sheltering in place or, you know, evacuating and then returning to the impacted areas. So we were providing that information. And then we also provided a simple graph that showed our reopening rate post-storm day by day and the reopening rate of our principal competitors, which we obtained this through an information exchange with our retail trade association at the time. And it showed that our preparedness efforts had paid off because we reopened at a faster rate than any of our competitors. And then we could financially show the sales difference, the additional sales we gained by being reopened first. So this is one way of making sure that your board is informed and that they know what is going on. At the same time, they can help portray that external confidence along the way. So the takeaway for you here is that the board's role in crisis management is not to run the response. It is to govern, support, and assure your external stakeholders. Boards that engage early, that prepare alongside management, that hold the right level of oversight, and practice with us through your crisis exercise processes are boards that can help you navigate disruption with confidence. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.